Romans chapter 5. And you do recall, beginning of the chapter, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Remember, we are justified by faith. It's true. You and me, those of you who are truly born again, you've been justified by faith. And you know, we glory in tribulations because we know that tribulation worketh patience, don't we? And we know that patience works experience, and we know that experience works out hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We know we've got the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit tells us that God loves us, and God's love is shed abroad in our hearts, those who belong to Him. And we read this now. We'll start in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. It was when you and I were yet or still or in a position of having no strength. That means without strength means we're powerless or we are weak and helpless. It was when we were weak and we were helpless. In due time, we read, Christ died for the ungodly. We were powerless. There was this great chasm, this huge ditch, this great big hole between God the Father and all of us, every one of us. And there was no way to get across it. You couldn't jump to it like you can to Hawaii. It was even bigger than that. You couldn't get there. But God made a way in His Son, Jesus Christ. Now we can get to the Father. But before, we couldn't. Without Jesus, we are powerless. Helpless. You know something? There was a time in your life, if you're a Christian, if you really are born again, there was a time in your life when you plain said it, maybe you even said it out loud, I am helpless. I am in need of a Savior, and without help, I can't get to heaven. I will go to hell. I am helpless. You recognized your powerlessness, and you said, I want Jesus. Remember? Do you remember having to humble yourself and say, I can't make it on my own? See, when I was a young, single dude, I thought that Christianity was for gay men and women. Tough men don't need a crutch like God. What a bunch of wimps. What a bunch of losers. But I came to the point to realize I'm helpless. I finally, God let me see I was a sinner and I am helpless. I have no hope. And without help, I will suffer for eternity. I'm helpless. Do you remember saying that? Those of you who were willing to admit it. If you remember that, hold that thought. Because I'm going to say something to you now that may shock you. Do you know you are still helpless today? You are just as helpless as you were then, so am I. But we sure have ourselves convinced that we're hanging on, don't we? I'm suffering for Jesus. We're doing it. I'm hanging on, man. I'm there. People have asked me this question. Pastor Bob, can you lose your salvation? I've taken to answer them back. You think I've got my salvation? God's got my salvation. If He handed it to me, I'd misplace it. Ask my wife. I go, I don't know what I did with it. It was here when I left home. I said, if I had it, I would do something with it to blow it. You know that, don't you? I don't have it. I am still powerless to get myself to heaven. I am still counting 100% on Jesus and Him alone. That's all. I know. You say, man, I have read my Bible every day for the last 6 months. Woe you. I've been good all week. I said something nice to my husband just the other day. I got to be saved, man. I took the trash out. Are you kidding? That's the Holy Spirit. Man, I know I'm going to heaven. No, I'm powerless. And while we were yet without strength, the Bible says in due time. That means when it was the exact perfect time, Christ died for who? the ungodly. That means to be destitute of any reverence for God, any at all. To be impious, to be ungodly. Do you know that when God saved me, I wasn't that weak looking for Him. Oh, let me go find God. I'm just seeking the Lord. I've gotten this whole... I went to the mountaintop and I sat in a weird position and I chanted boogie woogie and it happened. That didn't happen to me, guys. And it probably didn't happen to you. You didn't care about God at all. We were ungodly. We had no respect. I don't care what God thought. Did you? You know, God says thou shalt... Come on, man. I'm busy. I'm playing rock and roll. Of course, I've been told you play rock and roll, you go to hell. So I was sort of resigned to the fact that that's just the way it is. If you play guitar, you know, that you have to go to hell. I was set up. I wasn't looking for God when I was powerless. In the perfect time, just the right time, God saved me, the ungodly. When you were powerless, just in the right time, God saved you. You weren't looking for God. Something happened when you got born again. Those of you that are Christians, and I know it's true, and you'll say, that's right. When you accept the Lord, like before, I never sat in a room all by myself, talking to myself like I do now. I didn't do that too much before. I fought with myself a lot, misunderstood what I said many times, argued with me. But I never sat once, ever, before I accepted Jesus. I never sat and said, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Did you? Oh, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that over there. I got some of these, and here's my plan for next week, man. We're saving our money. We're going to go. Now, you've come to the Lord, and something inside you, no matter how lousy you are, Eddie, you go, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, but I don't know what it is. So show me your will. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. If you want me to do nothing, then tell me that. Show me what to do. Talk to me. Now, how many times did you ever pray that before you were saved? It never crossed your mind. You were busy trying to get good grades or trying to get married or trying to get to the top. Do you know something? When we were yet without strength, in due time, just at the right time, Christ, Jesus Christ, He died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's a question, and you might as well try and answer it honestly. And you know who your family are and basically who your friends are. Tell me, just take a moment and answer this question in your own heart. Who do I know right now that is willing to die for me? Right now on the spot. Who do I know that's willing to die for me? Think about my family. None of those. They think I'm weird. You know better, but I mean, they think I'm weird. Hey, get off me. Who's willing to die for you right now? I think you could count them on one finger. I think God the Son, Jesus Christ, was willing to die for you. For a righteous man, for a good man, we're going to learn later on, He died while we were enemies of His. He died for us. There's no one in my life I know who would willingly, right this moment, die for me. Well, they might say it. But the truth is, and you know it too, there's one person willing to die for you. Now, Jesus died once for all, but we learn from Scripture. If there were a need for Him to do it again for you, He would. There's no need. He has paid the price, it's done. But He loves you. Do you hear that? He loves you. He died for me. I can count on one finger who would die for me. Jesus. Buddha didn't. And wasn't willing to. Krishna didn't and wasn't willing to. There's only one Messiah. From the beginning of time, we have known that the Messiah would be born of a woman and that woman would be a virgin. We know that Messiah has to be born of a virgin. Has to be born in Bethlehem. Where was Buddha born? Forget it. There is no other Savior. Also, the Savior of the world has to be God. It can't be any less. Must be God in human flesh. So the cults are absolutely wrong. Jesus is the Son of God. Not the brother, spirit brother of Lucifer. Neither is he Michael the Archangel. No, he is the living God. Almighty Father. Wonderful Counselor. God in human flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He also had to ride in on a donkey, in the colt of a donkey, into Jerusalem on a certain day. Who did that? Lord Maitreya didn't do it. No one else could possibly be the Messiah but Jesus Christ himself. He also needed to be put to death, but he couldn't be beaten. He couldn't be hung. He couldn't be choked to death. He couldn't be murdered or stabbed with a sword. And that's how he died. He had to be pierced and hanged on a tree. Who was pierced and hung on a tree? Who was God Almighty in human flesh? Who rode in on a donkey into Jerusalem on the exact day? Who was born of a virgin? Who was born in Bethlehem? I'm sorry. No matter how you slice it, it could only be one. And he has fulfilled every prophecy. And he died for the sins of the world. While we were still sinners and powerless to help ourselves, Jesus Christ died at just the right time for the ungodly. And he was willing to die for us. Now notice, this says, God commendeth his love toward us. To commend his love means to demonstrate. But it's in the present tense, not in the past tense. Meaning the idea of a continual process. He commendeth his love toward us means he continues to demonstrate his love toward us in that Jesus died. His love is being shown to you now, showing you that Jesus died for you. It's a continuing process. He commendeth his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, verse 9, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We're justified by his blood. Blood had to be shed, but it had to be the blood of God, but it had to be the blood of a man. So it had to be the blood of fully God, fully man, individual. Who was that? Again, nobody in all of history since the beginning of time has fulfilled that except Jesus Christ himself. You got a choice to make. What are you going to do about it? It's a free gift. I read this. Much more than being now justified by his blood. I'm going to give you some scriptures. I'll read them to you, but you just write them down. Or remember them if you can't write them down. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1:13 and 4 through 15. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, speaking about God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation or every creature. Hebrews 13:12-13. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. It was his own blood that he shed. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 5:9. The church and all the saints singing in heaven. The scene is in heaven. Revelation 5:9. They sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and hast redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. The blood of Jesus Christ washes sins away. We are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If there's any question, I read you a few verses. There are many, many more you can find. Being now justified by his blood, verse 9 says, Romans 5:9, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Saved from the wrath. Question, whose wrath? The wrath of your people, your friends and your family who are mad at you because you're now a Christian? The wrath of the world because the world hates Christians? You saved from that wrath? The wrath of the devil himself, who's mad now because you're going to heaven and he's lost another one and he's still got to go to hell? The wrath of the devil? Whose wrath are we saved from? You're allowed to say it. It's church. God. Are you sure? Hear that weak yes? Mm-hmm. Are you sure? See? Now I've tricked you into something. You knew it was coming. Well, let me read you something then. Saved from the wrath. And the wrath is whose wrath? God's wrath. John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say unto you, Jesus speaking, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Now, immediately. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. You will not come into condemnation. You have been saved from the wrath of God. You will never come into condemnation ever. You say, but I'm a sinner. Saved by the grace of God, the blood of the Lamb, you will never come into condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. No, none, niet, nada, none. How much? You got it. See, this is easy. You know just as much as me. None. There's no condemnation. You've been saved from the wrath of God. Ooh, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. When we begin to talk about this great tribulation, verses 9 and 10, for they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He's going to talk about that coming wrath. And that coming wrath is coming upon the earth. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Is it the wrath of God he's saving us from? It is, isn't it? Has God appointed us to wrath once we're born again? Have you been appointed to wrath? No, you've been saved from that. Well, let me read you then Revelation chapter 6, which says that the 7 years of tribulation coming on the earth are the wrath of God. Listen to this. Revelation 6:15-17. The kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men, every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, the caves, and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne. Who's that? Who sits on the throne? God. And hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The great day of his wrath is a 7-year period. Not only is there no condemnation and you have been saved from the wrath for eternity, the Bible is clear that we have not been appointed unto wrath. The Bible is clear that we have been saved from the wrath that is to come. And there is wrath coming, as you see in Revelation chapter 6, on the whole world. Now, if he saved me from that wrath and not appointed me to wrath, but it's going to be on the whole world to cover the entire earth and even the outer space, even the planets and the stars are involved in it, and they unravel and there's trouble, then what's going to have to happen to me? If he promised me that he has saved me from it, what's he going to have to do? He's going to have to get me to a place where I am not a part of the heavens and the earth. Where could that possibly be? What the Bible would call the third heaven, which means where God's throne is. You have been saved from the wrath to come. The wrath is from God Himself. It's going to be poured out on a Christ-rejecting world. Now is the time to come to Jesus. You're powerless to try anything else on your own. You are powerless to try and get in. You know, I'm telling you right now, some of you think, I know that I wasn't good, but I'm trying to really be good now, and I've really got it together now. Well, what do you think? Like, well, God's going to wait till it's dark in heaven and open the back door and slip you in? Come on, Bob. Hurry, though. Don't let anybody see you. Now, if anybody asks what you're doing here, don't mention the back door. Do you really think that a just, loving God who is holy is going to be able to overlook sin, sneak you somewhere in there where nobody caught you? No, no, no. He has to. Sin has to be dealt with. And so, God dealt with the sin question at the cross at Calvary by the blood of the Lamb that was shed for the sins of the world. You can have life. When you were young, do you remember ever not feeling too good? You know, I don't really feel well. You, maybe at school or at home. And a lot of times if I was at school or home, they would do the same thing. I'd say, I think my stomach hurts a little bit. I'm not really feeling too good. What? The first thing they did was they'd grab my forehead. Did they ever do that to you? It's got to be the front and the back of the hand because that's how women do things. It was always a nun or my mom. I thought she was saluting or something. And then she'd feel her own forehead. And then she'd feel yours, and she'd say, "You know what? I think you've got a fever." Did that ever happen to you? No? Never been sick? Oh. Never mind. Oh. So they would take me into the office, and they would take a thermometer, and if I was blessed, they would put it in my mouth. And you wait a moment or two, and then they pull that thermometer out, and what did that thermometer do? It revealed to them what the problem was. They would look at it and say, "Oh my goodness, you've got a temperature of 102. Now, how many of you have ever had a thermometer tell you your temperature? Let's see your hands. Come on. Okay, and how many of you then, once the thermometer told you what was wrong with you, how many of you swallowed the thermometer? Let's see your hands. You know why you didn't? Because the thermometer can't take care of what's wrong with you. It only shows you what's wrong with you. Now, how many of you are trying to do it with the law? When the law shows you what your temperature is, shows you you're a sinner, how many of you are trying to swallow the law to make it better? No, you're probably going to swallow some ibuprofen or whatever else the doctor tells you to do. Many of you are trying to use the law like that thermometer, and you swallow it. That's stupid. Then you got a whole other problem you're going to have to deal with. The law can't help you. It just shows you what your temperature is. And you're trying to use it to get yourself into heaven. Man, you and I are helpless. It's the blood of the Lamb. Jesus shed His blood. But the law is given. And now I take my temperature and I go, "My goodness, I'm about up to 108. I'm dying here. I am in trouble and destruction is coming. I'll deliver you from that wrath and that suffering. All you need to do is come to Jesus Christ," my Father says. That's all. And we read this. If when we were enemies, verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. How about that? We're saved by His blood. We're reconciled to God while we were sinners. Yet we're also saved by His life. What could that possibly mean? Which one saves us? Is it His blood that saves us? Or is it His life that saves us? And the answer, yes. Got it? The blood of Jesus Christ washes your sins away and gives you eternal life if you come to Jesus. But the Bible just told you that His life also saves you. What that means is the second one you see by His life saving us, it's a continual ongoing process. Think about that. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed. I asked Jesus into my heart. He gave me life. I was saved. But I am also right now being saved. What is Jesus doing? I know what many of you think because you've got the wrong theology. You know what? You think, all right, Jesus suffered and it was an ugly life he had. It was tough and he was mistreated above measure and he was beaten beyond recognition and he suffered and he died. And then when he arose and went back to heaven, he put his feet up, got himself a soda and he's got his remote and he is relaxing. Wait, he can't wait till we get there. That's what many people see Jesus as doing right now. But the Bible says his life, he's alive, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is making intercession for you and me right now. Every day Jesus is serving us by making intercession for us daily. Now wait. I'm saved by grace through faith, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm also being saved continually by who? By the life of Jesus Christ there at the Father. Does that let you realize that even today, you're saved because of him? Not only did he save me 25, 26 years ago, 27 years ago, but he is continuing that process. He who began a work in me is faithful to complete it. Even though I'm trying to jump to Hawaii, my Bible shows me he every day is being sure that I'm there. And again, people say, Bob, can you lose your salvation? My salvation is not in my hands. Because you know I would destroy it or lose it or bend it or break it or do something wrong with it. My salvation is in the hands of God. I just need to abide in the vine. How do I do that? Can't even do that. I'm powerless. He gives me the strength by filling me with his Holy Spirit that I can walk every day with him. Man, you are free. And so we read this. We're reconciled. Word reconciled means we're brought together to remove what stands between us and brings us together. Sin was standing between me and God Almighty, a holy God. But I've been reconciled by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ has paid the price. And I come to Jesus and now I'm brought close. Nothing between the Father and me. We're reconciled together by his life. Saved by his life. And not only so, verse 11, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Atonement simply means we've been restored to a place of favor or to a complete debt-free standing. A favor or debt-free standing. Atonement. The debt has been paid. Jesus said it, paid in full. He paid the price for you and for me. Jesus Christ did. He loves you. And this is something interesting. You begin to see Jesus died for my sins and he has given me life freely and he right now is continuing to work in my life. He's given you life freely and now he works in your life. You simply listen and walk with him by the power of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And he who began a work in you is faithful to complete it, Philippians 1:6. And you read this. We joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because God has done everything for me. He has made it so simple. All I have to do is humble myself and with his strength walk. God has paid the price. God has the plan. Notice this. I can rejoice now in God. To joy in God means to rejoice. Right now, wherever you are, whatever circumstances you're in, whatever problems you have going on right this moment, you can still rejoice in God. You can rejoice that God's alive, first of all. You can rejoice that he's almighty and in control. You can rejoice that he has provided a way for you to have life eternal. Everything's dependent on him and only him. He has a plan for our salvation because he loves us. He loves all of us. And the true child of God should have joy in his or her heart. We joy in God, rejoicing in him. Look at how good God has been to us. He made a way that we could come to him while we were powerless, while we were still in sin, while we were his enemies. He saved us by the shedding of his blood. He's made a way that we can come to the Father, that we can spend eternity with him. It's not dependent on how much you've read your Bible over 6 months. There won't be a Bible quiz in heaven. We should spend a lot of time in the Word of God. We should know it. But your salvation isn't dependent on that. It won't be how well you've treated each other, because you failed, haven't you? Listen, here's an experiment if you think you want to try it any other way. From this moment on, ready? Now. All right, we just started. Don't think a wrong thought. Don't say anything wrong. Don't do anything wrong. Do not allow any emotion to take you in any wrong direction. Don't sin. Do it for a week and call me. Some of you haven't even made it this far, look. Can't be done. It can't be done. And so if you're really convinced that you're doing well enough to hold your own salvation, you've missed it. That's why we can rejoice in God. He can do anything. He can save me and you. He loves you. You are now free. All the pressure's off. You're just free to walk with Him, to love each other. Wherever you go to church, wherever you go to school, wherever you go to work, whatever your day is like, you are free now to walk with Him, to love one another, and to let your lights shine. And you'll joy in God, rejoicing. He's been so good to us. He's been so kind. He's been so thoughtful. He's so merciful and so full of grace, providing everything that we need to just simply have eternal life. We rejoice in God. Things haven't gone the way I wanted them to in the last 50 years in my life. There have been a lot of shocks. There have been a lot of surprises. People have died that I did not want to die. People have left me that I didn't want them to leave me. People have turned against me that they were my friends and I didn't want them to turn against me. Things have happened to me that I don't want that to happen to me. It's just not been my life so far. But in it all, Jesus Christ loves me. And I know that I'll stand there on that day because He said, "You're in my hand. Nobody will take you out." How are you doing? You say, "I'm not doing so well. I'm weak. I'm worthless." Great. You're recognizing you're in a great position then to come to Jesus, to say, "I want you in my heart. I want to walk with you." God has made everything simple. He has made the way. And all you need to do is to say, "Yes, Lord." And then walk with Him. No matter what trials, no matter what good news, no matter what comes your way, we rejoice in God. He's done it all.